Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast. We do reviews and recaps of your favorite TV shows. We are an inclusive recap show.
Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds. My name is Jeez, a.k.a. Watson Lee, and I'm here with my boy, Jazz.
We drop live episodes on YouTube on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. All episodes can also be found everywhere podcasts are found. Thank you to all our supporters. Please help us by subscribing and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neves, a.k.a. Watch with Neves, and we're here with my co-host Jazz, and we have a special guest for you today. You might have seen her in our intro video, but Miss Zenobia Shroff, welcome to our show. Absolutely. Thank you so much for being on our show. We are so excited to have you on here. We love everything you do. We think it's awesome. And
oh, you're sweet.
I mean, you've been in this industry for a while. You've done amazing movies. You're a trained dancer. Like, there's so much amazing things about you. And we're so excited to learn more about you in our interview and our recap.
Thanks. Excited to chat.
We are. We're going to be dropping this episode soon. Okay. And it's going to be on Instagram, is going to be on TikTok, and is going to be on YouTube and Spotify, and everywhere podcasts can be found. Yeah, absolutely. And we can't wait to promote The Marvels, which we love The Marvels. It was so much fun. I'd really love to get a understanding of, like, what was it like to film The Marvels compared to Ms. Marvel?
Yeah, it was pretty, so Ms. Marvel, you have to remember, was done in deep pandemic.
Yeah.
And by that I mean there were not even any vaccines out yet. It was very challenging. And also it was the very, very first time for Iman. So, you know, that couldn't have been easy for her. And we had to all, like, sit behind this red rope, and we were socially distant, 6 feet from each other. It was hard to really get to know each other. And also the deep pandemic with no vaccines was scary. We were getting tested a lot. And then by the time the Marvels started shooting, the pandemic had been in the world for about a year and a half. So, and vaccines were available. It was, I think, more chill. And, you know, it's very hard when you have 150 people who are all masked all day. We had to eat alone in our trailers. Mm. Obviously, we as the actors, you know, we are the sort of quote-unquote priority to keep safe, and also it was a very steep learning curve for Iman, and so all of those factors, you know, were hard. And then we went to Thailand, where it was even stricter with COVID, and many of us were not yet vaccinated because vaccines had not really come to Atlanta. It was hard in that sense. And personally for me, it was hard because pretty much out of the 5 or 6 months we did Ms. Marvel, my mother was dying for most of the time.
Oh no.
And she was here in this home from which I speak to you in Mumbai. So it was very hard for me. But it was also something that I used because it sort of became this very meta thing, you know, because I was playing Iman's mom and I was being Muniba, I was being protective of her. I was channeling my mom. I mean, there was a lot of there were a lot of layers. And then we went to Pakistan, or rather Thailand, and then I met Samina Ahmad, who plays my mom.
Yeah.
Very meta, because there was conflicts with me and my mom, or rather with Muniba and Sana, and then there was conflicts with Muniba and Kamala, and then there was my mom dying. So by the end of it, it was very meta, the whole experience.
Yeah. Wow.
But you do what I know to do best, which is you take all the pain and all the crappy stuff that is happening, and you throw it at action. And that's what I did for Miss Marvel.
I feel like you did an amazing job, because you could tell your performance was amazing. It's one of like there's not a lot of performances of like people playing Pakistani moms, but you're definitely the bar now. That's the bar right there.
Thank you so much. And so then The Marvels was fun. The Marvels was a lot of fun. Yes. And for Miss Marvel, you know, we had six young kids, and only Mohan and I were the only adults.
Yeah.
And the kids bonded very nicely, which was lovely to see. You know, I've had that experience when I was a dancer. You bond with your dance group, and that was lovely to watch them all get close. But Mohan was the only one my age there. And then for The Marvels was much more relaxed, and it was a lot of fun. And I had fun things to do. So Nia created such a fun set. So it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Thagar couldn't say enough good things about Nia. It sounds like she is an amazing director. So I'm really glad.
Enough good things about Nia. We'll have to do a whole podcast for that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I'd love to.
Yeah. And The Marvels. So I'm so sorry. No,
go ahead.
So I started The Marvels. I just mentioned this on another podcast. So wait a little maybe before you drop yours. But my mom died then, and then I went to do The Marvels 5 weeks later, literally.
Wow.
Wow. So
then again, it was like, okay, what do we do with this grief? And I'll just say it was a very complicated grief that I had, and what do you do with that? So once again, you know, you throw it at action. So,
yeah, no, that actually segues into my next question, because Thagar told us he didn't even know he was going to be in the movie. There was very little time for him to prepare and know how much he was going to be in the movie, because Ms. Marvel had just premiered. And then he told Kevin Feige, was like, hey, how long will it take you to grow your beard back? Because we need you back on set. And I thought that was really, really interesting. So, like, did you know how much of the movie you were actually going to be in? Or was a lot of it, like, change or a surprise?
A lot of it. It's funny you should say this, because when it finally opened, we were still technically on strike. The strike ended 2 days before it opened. And so Marvel had organized a private a screening in New York, and that's the one I went for with a very close friend. And all the way going there in the Uber, I kept telling her, I have a very small role, okay? So just like manage your expectations. And after the movie, she's like, what are you talking about? You were in nearly most of the scenes. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, I was. But it wasn't so on the page. The cons were not written so much, but, I said this again the other day to others. Nia really championed me. She and Mary, the producer, and they gave me lots of stuff to do. We had new sides given every day, improv, all of it. The yoga scene, which got deleted, but that was not written. Stuff with Sam. She's like, go with Sam here, do this with that. And Sam and I think, really developed a nice chemistry, and obviously, I have so much regard for him. I let him lead most of it. And so I would definitely, definitely say that it wasn't that way on the page. I knew I was going to be in it because we'd had the meeting with Nia and Mary, our producer. But I didn't think I was going to be in it so much.
Yeah. I mean, I would argue you guys are the heart of the movie. Like, all this stuff is happening with Iman and Brie and, you know, everyone else. But you guys are, like, you know, the part of, like, that makes the audience connect with the family. I think the family is everyone's favorite part.
And the family always tests really well with, you know, in the test screenings that they do, both for Miss Marvel and the Marvels. And I think that's because family is a universal theme. And while it is a Marvel movie and it should have action and adventure and morphing and repelling and all of that, there has to be something to ground it. You can't just have people fighting for 2 hours. Nobody's going to reach that. So there has to be a foundation. And then from that foundation, the cool stuff can happen. And so the cons have become the foundational part of it. And that's what people are really, you know, appealing to, or rather are finding appealing. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up because, like, even though like the action and the superhero stuff is really, really fun and is great, but there is some like heavy stuff and some grounded stuff. Like in Miss Marvel, you guys got to tackle the partition. Like, that's never been done before. So many people have told me, we had no idea this even happened. Our education system failed us. How did you feel when you found out that that's what they're going to be tackling?
Overwhelming response to the partition episodes, which Charmin, you know, was the perfect person, being a Pakistani, to shoot them. All of my friends, you know, American friends, white or otherwise, were like, "We're so sorry, Zenobia. We didn't even know this existed. We didn't even know that this piece of history happened." Because history, as we all know, should I call you Uneeb or Neebs?
Neebs is fine.
Neebs.
Yeah.
Neebs. History, as you know, Jazz and Neebs, is selective in its telling. And it will always skew in favor of the white man, isn't it? We know that. Even currently in the United States, there's so much, you know, don't read this book, don't read that book. Why? Yeah. Why are we hiding our history? You need to examine your history to be able to move on. So, you know, the British essentially in dividing us and the partition, I don't know, I could be wrong, but like 2-3 million people died or something in the partition and were displaced. And so let's not talk about it, shall we? And And so I have very progressive friends in America. I'm lucky. You know, we're all registered independents, Jazz. just to let you know, most of them, some are Democrats. The Indians are Democrats. The Americans are registered independents. It's interesting. It's interesting. I'm a registered independent. But anyway, we're not talking about that. but they were deeply, deeply apologetic and deeply ashamed that they had no idea. And I remember being invited out to my friend Melissa's house shortly after the Miss Marvel, and they just kept asking me. They were just so, not just fascinated, but they were like, just really wanted to know. And people wrote me saying, you know, we've been reading about it, and it's so painful. And I just told somebody about it this past Thanksgiving, too, somebody from extended family, a white lady, said, "I had no idea partition. What is partition?" So we do need to highlight these atrocities. And white people are not going to do it. I mean, there is Martin Scorsese. He just did something brilliant with that. But everybody's not going to do it. So we need to tell. I remember Meera Nair, who's very respected in our community. When I was, you know, writing my one woman show and I was performing it, and she gave a plug for it. She came to see it, and she was like, "Zen, you have to keep telling your own story because nobody's going to tell your story for you."
Absolutely.
So that's what I did. I told my own story. And I think we have to keep telling our own stories. So hopefully if we get a season 2, which I know you're going to ask me about.
we're pushing
really
for it.
Hoping for it.
We're pushing for it. Like... there'll be more history to uncover, you know?
Yeah.
Then Bangladesh happened, and Bangladesh was partitioned.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, it's just endless. So,
Wow.
I would
love to see that.
It's a span our history.
Yeah.
So,
like,
there's good
and
bad.
I hope they do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be really, really interesting. That would be really cool.
It would be so interesting.
Speaking of friends, you were also in The Big Sick with another Marvel superhero, Camille. Camille Nanjiani. His family actually is neighbors with my cousin in New Jersey.
Really? His parents are lovely. I've met them a number of times. They came to set once and twice, of course, the premiere. And they're such sweet people, lovely people.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Do you think we'll get to see...
Was a lot nicer than Charmaine.
do you think we'll get to see Camille and you on screen together again in the MCU? Because he is also in the Kingo. Eternals.
Yeah, he's Kingo. You never know, you know, everything's possible in the MCU. And I'd love to work with Camille again. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Feige's call how he makes all that happen. Yeah. Yeah,
it's really interesting because they did mention that Kingo Sr. is your favorite actor. So it's really funny.
I know,
funny.
And I wasn't sure. I thought about that joke and I was like, should we not? Because like Kumail and, you know, I was his mother, but
yeah.
Then it's fine. Yeah.
No, that was really, really funny. I thought that was a little fun Easter egg for a lot of people.
Yes. Yeah.
Speaking of Easter eggs, have you had a chance to read comic books? Have you read any of the Ms. Marvel comic books or have any experience with that in the past?
Only when I got the job. Mm. Yeah, I'm not a comic book. I mean, I don't like the word nerd because I think all these are labels, but I'm not a comic book aficionado. I was growing up because we didn't have TV or internet or anything. We didn't even have TV till I was in the 10th or the 9th grade. So... I grew up reading a lot of Archie.
Oh yeah,
really?
And, Dilton Doily, Little Lada. The darkest thing we had here was Phantom. I don't know if you remember Phantom.
I do.
So I am not. My dad actually, when I told him I'd got this job, said, "Oh yeah, Marvel comics." So he probably read some when he was young, but I can't. Claim Mary, our producer on the Marvels, and I gave me some comic books and I read them. I had not read anything till then. I had never heard of Miss Marvel, if you're asking me the truth.
No, that's really, really cool.
I have, however, played 14 mothers or 13 mothers till that point. So
yeah, I saw your IMDb and it was like mom, somebody's mom, somebody's mom.
I have had 19 children.
Yeah. That's so funny. I mean, listen, you are the Marvel Cinematic Universe's favorite mom. Like people have done rankings and you rank number one on almost every single ranking. Like it's crazy.
Can you send me that? I mean, I go on Twitter and they say, you're the mom of the MCU. You're the mom of the MCU. But I, you know, and I say, thank you, but that's about it. But I'd love to see some actual data.
It's really interesting because you're not like a superficial mom. Like they showed all sides of you, like the good and the bad and coming over the trauma and, you know, having conflict with your kids. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. And then you see how people like resolve conflict. And it's really, really interesting because it made your character more grounded and more real than somebody's mom who just like packed some lunch and that's all you see.
Well, you know, Muniba on the page for Miss Marvel was a lot of like, Kamala come down, Kamala go up, Kamala eat you. I was very determined and they gave me a beautiful arc, you know, to when she really does not want her to be involved in anything to when she resolves to it or makes peace with it. But so I was so grateful, but I also was very determined to flesh her out. You may not, the two of you being Muslim and being South Asian, but the white person watching it has a certain trope of what the Muslim Pakistani New Jersey housewife is, right? I mean, let's be honest about that. Not even white, it could be anybody. America has that trope. Mm-hmm. She's the person who cooks and cleans and says, come for dinner. And I was determined to give her more dignity than that. And I was determined to give her more fully fleshed arc than that.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Because nobody needs one more stereotyped trope out there.
Absolutely.
So I won't have to do that. Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I, as someone who is Pakistani and from New Jersey, I really appreciate the love and care you put into this character. Yeah, like, it was so really, sweet. Really good to see. I really appreciate that. So I did want to ask, so how do you think Kamala and Maniba's relationship has changed from the Ms. Marvel to the Marvels?
I think a significant change, don't you? I mean, the beginning of the series, she was like, you're not going even to,
Comic-Con or whatever.
Comic-Con, you're not doing all that. She's horrified by the outfit, all of that. They had that big showdown in the first episode. And then, you know, I think Maniba's resistance comes from her own childhood trauma around this, because she thought her mother was just this crazy lady who, you know, kept saying that this Bangle and this Noor and the Da and the Da and the Aisha and Maniba was trying to be realistic, make a life. What happened exactly? I don't know. We can explore that in season two if we get one. Mm-hmm. What made her, you know, she left and she came to America. She was very against the whole thing. And then the arc was so beautifully given. And I tried to do the best. And then in the episode 5, she finally says, you know, you are light girl. And in the Dhobi Ghat, when they are together, and she acknowledges that her mother wasn't just batshit crazy. And there is something to this. And so then by the time the Marvels comes, she's on board with the fact that her child has some superhero powers, but she's not terribly thrilled that, you know, she's gone on this mission with Captain Marvel, as she says, "Main iski jaan le lungi." And
I love that part.
I asked Nia if I could say it in Urdu, and she's like, "Go for it." So that was an improv line. And now she's on board, especially when she says to her, you know, I'll always be here waiting for you, but you have a special gift and you go use it well. And so I think that's where they are. She's on board, but, you know, there'll be conflicts if we get a season 2. Yeah. Kamala, you need to finish high school, and Kamala might have a...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So there's a lot. It's a very natural growth process because Kamala is only 16. So all those things, maybe first crush, prom, you know, driving test again, maybe. Yeah. All those rites of passage of growing up are still coming for Kamala. And, you know, Maniba's going to be there, protective. Maybe there's some conflicts. But she has realized that this child has some powers now. Yeah. She's on board.
Yeah. No matter what, you're always going to be a mom to her, regardless of whether she's a superhero or she's just a child. And I feel like you do a really good job of that. Even when you were the first one to notice that the Flerken was getting a little chubby, and I was like, that is such a Daisy mom thing.
Like, Mr. Fury, the cat, you know, are you feeding the cat?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's really funny. So there are theories about you on the internet as Maniba. People think that Maniba may actually have powers because she can sew an entire outfit in a day and she can make tons of food in a second. Is this her superpower as a mutant, or is she just a superpower as a Daisy mom?
It's her superpower as a Daisy mutant.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I've been seeing the theories, especially after, like, Maniba has powers, Maniba has Nurullah, the bangle, there's two bangles, give Maniba one bangle. I've been tracking it.
Oh, wow.
Or rather, I've not been tracking it. That's wrong. I've been tagged, so I read it. Yes. Yeah, you know, they see moms, they kick ass.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so funny.
They do.
So we talked a little bit about a season 2, and hopefully we'll get a season 2. We're going to be championing for that for quite a bit.
Absolutely.
And I'm wondering, who would you like to see in season 2? Like, what actor would you like to work with and want to join the family?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I the you know, the sky's the limit on that one. I know Sana said she would like Shah Rukh Khan.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. I, by the way, thought Fawad did a beautiful job in his episode. I don't know, you know. I'd love to play with more people. And let's see who they bring in.
Yeah. I really think. I'm glad you brought up Fawad, because he's one of those people, when he started coming on the screen, him and Sana, people went crazy. People were like, whoa, they're beautiful people, which we don't get a lot in American media.
Do you mean him and Aisha?
Aisha,
Mavish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mavish. They were so stunning to look at. You can't look away, first of all.
I know. I know.
Them are so lovely. They're so lovely.
Yeah.
We got to know each other a little bit in Thailand. Lovely people.
That's so great. Do you have any Pakistani actors that you like enjoy watching?
Fawad,
yeah.
I love Fawad when he was doing Bollywood, and he did what's the one? My friend was in it. It was Alia Bhatt's first one. Not Student of the Year. It was the one. It was Siddharth and Fawad and Alia. I can't remember it. And I've been a fan of his since then. I'd love to see more of him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think America would. I would love to see more.
And Nimra is so talented, too, who played her.
Oh, my God. She is so good. Have you seen Police Society?
I have not, but I've seen. I'm going to catch it. Yeah.
She is so good in Police Society. It's insane how good she is. She's so good at playing a villain. It's so good. Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, Samina, who played my mom, is by all means a legend in Pakistan, I do believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, man. That's
also,
really
the movie was Kapoor and Sons.
Kapoor and Sons. Thank you. Kapoor and Sons. And I had never seen this boy. And this was like 15 years ago. And I'm like, this kid can act.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Really cool. Oh, man, that movie has really good songs, too. I really love the songs in that movie.
Yeah. It was iconic. Well, actually, I got a question. You were in Bollywood, right? You were in Ik Mera Rakhtu, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the difference? 15 years now ago. Mm-hmm. Sorry, what's your question?
What's the difference between acting like Bollywood versus Hollywood?
In Hollywood, you keep time. You come on time, darling. You come on time. Even if you're Brad Pitt, you come on time.
That's so funny.
Waiting for 5 hours and 6 hours. Listen, I've just done the one.
Mm-hmm.
This was the only true Bollywood one I've done. I've done another, the one that gave me my first big break, called Little Zizu, which was more like an Indo-American sort of project and was very well organized. It was an indie, so there was very little money, and it was brilliantly done. So that can happen. But on this one, there was long periods of waiting. And at one point, I was actually told to go back to America, and then I had to come back. But it was a lot of fun. The dance was a lot of fun. Bollywood dance. Auntie G went to the top of the charts. And it was a fun dance. It was fun.
Yeah. Speaking of dancing, you're a trained dancer in Bharatanatyam. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I have 8 years of Bharatanatyam under my belt. Like Bharatanatyam, I can do it if you woke me up in the middle of the night. Because you know the things you learn in childhood and the things you never forget. Then from there, at about 17, 18, Bharatanatyam was not hip enough. And so I moved on to jazz and modern and... I did a lot of dance shows, there's a gentleman called Shyam Akhtarva who's very famous here and worldwide, and I was one of his founding members of his company. We did a lot of dance. We did a show called Best of Broadway. I did The Wiz. I did a lot. We did these shows for Air India, and Air India said, instead of giving you money, we're going to give you a ticket to America. And that's the ticket I used to come to Circle in the Square and study acting.
That's very cool.
Oh, wow.
Because I was going to be a therapist, and I was about to begin. I'd finished my master's in psychology, and I... I was either going to start the therapist training program or a PhD of some sort, or I was going to follow the voice inside me. And I guess I followed the voice inside me.
Well, we're glad you did. That's we got.
No,
so much
I'm
talent.
Convinced her therapist side comes out in Miss Marvel, because I felt like that was a therapy show for like a lot of us.
It was.
Like we felt
oh, honey,
so
my
good
therapist
after.
Side is working every day to survive.
That's
especially
so funny. That's so funny. So what other project do you have coming up? Is there anything you're excited about that you're going to be working on that you can share?
Yeah, I can share it because it was publicized. I wasn't sure if I would share it. There's my 18th and 19th children are Simone Ashley and Suraj Sharma.
Whoa!
We finished the principal photography on that. It's a movie, it's an independent called This Tempting Madness. And it's a really compelling script because it's a true story. It's sort of a psychological thriller, but it also touches on mental health, which I'm very passionate about. Wanting to be a therapist and also like really, really, I'm very passionate that people need to take care of theirs, because if you don't, you take it out on everybody else. And so I was very keen to do it, and I did it I'm not sure when it'll have to find a distributor and all of that, but I'm looking forward to it. And Simone is an incredible lead in it.
She's so good. We loved her.
I decided that I will cap the mother thing at 20. So Hollywood has one more shot. Give me your best shot. That's it. Yeah.
Wait, what if I wanted to be an actor? Would you make an exception for me?
We'll see.
All right. No, I really, really appreciate it. I mean, when you're good at something, you know, when you're that good at something, people want it more. But no, I'm excited for this. This sounds like a good movie. Simone actually is so talented, and like you being her mom sounds perfect.
She was wonderful to work with. Yeah.
That's awesome. Jazz, do you have anything else that you want to add? I want to, you know, now that she's got to promote her stuff, what else do you have?
I mean, I guess my real question is like, how did you end up going from like Broadway essentially to Hollywood? I feel like I couldn't find anything like that online. So I'm just curious about that.
Off Broadway. So
yeah, off Broadway.
I found in my 30s, I found a wonderful theater company called Castillo Theater. It was a very postmodern, political, progressive theater movement. And I joined that company and sort of worked my way up the ladder there and did really 10 solid years of work with them. And they got bigger, we got bigger, we moved to to 42nd Street, which is like the mecca for off-Broadway and also Broadway. Did that consistently, I want to say, from 94, 95 to about 2006. And I did everything from Ibsen and Chekhov to Heiner Müller, who's an avant-garde German playwright, to comedy, to improv, a lot of improv, to drama, to dancing, singing, everything. It was I'm not big on classes. I'm not a big class girl. I don't like going to class. It was my training, and it was also like, you know, for people. It wasn't for audiences. And then in 2007, I came to Mumbai to visit my folks, and Suni Tarapurwala, you might have heard of her. She's a very prolific photographer and filmmaker. She was doing her debut. She's written all of Mira Nair's screenplays, most of them. Mm-hmm. They're very good friends.
Oh,
and
okay.
She was writing something called Little Zizou about our Zoroastrian community.
Mm.
And Zoya Akhtar at the time, you know, Zoya Akhtar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Zoya was helping her cast it. And I think Suni was not happy with what she had. And they just sort of gave me a polite audition, and then Zoya was like, okay, it's not so polite, you need to look at this girl. And I had five auditions because Bama Nirani, who I played against, was a big Bollywood star. And I got that role, and about 1 month in India became 4 months. And that's how I made the switch to movies. Mm. And then after that, I got Ek Mere Ek Tu, I got another independent, and that's how that ball rolled.
Oh, that's cool.
Fascinating.
The casting process is so interesting. That actually gave me an idea. Like, how was the casting process for Miss Marvel like? Like, who did you like audition with?
I auditioned, well, like I said, we were in deep, deep pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. So I auditioned in my living room in New York with a very sweet friend who was about a man's age, maybe a little older. She was out in Los Angeles, and we did it on a Zoom. Just like, because we couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And remember, I was living in New York City, which was the epicenter. So I was just trying to stay alive, honestly.
Yeah. Who was on the other side? Was it like Sana, Kevin Feige, like, or was it just the casting director? I was going to say, like, who was on the other side? Was it like Kevin Feige or Sana? Like, who were the people?
No, in the beginning, you never go to that level. Oh, you gotcha. Always go first to casting. Casting will send it out. If casting pins you and likes you, then the next step is showing it to the producers.
Hmm.
So then I got so it's always Serafin, who I think did an amazing job of casting. Hi there, Serafin. Because I think she put it together, she put the four cons together brilliantly. She couldn't have done it better. It's such a perfect fit. And all of it, but the family is always tricky, right? Because you have to somewhat look alike. You have to somewhat, it has to fit. And when you see the four of us, we fit.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Definitely do.
And then 2 weeks after that, I got a call saying there's a lot of interest. So that's probably when Sana and Kevin got involved. And then after that, I got it. So, yeah. But it was all deep pandemic.
Yeah, that's got to be very tough to do the whole thing.
July, August pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah. People forget like how long ago like the Marvels and Miss Marvel was filmed because they came out so much after like
much
it happened.
Later. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We love having you. We're big fans. We love everything you do on screen and off screen. We think you're awesome. We're letting everybody know February 13th is when it comes out on Blu-ray, and you can check out the Marvels. And it's already on digital. So if you want to go on Amazon Prime, Apple's iTunes, it already hit number one on Apple's iTunes. So definitely go check it out. Go support the movie. You know, unfortunately, it came out during the strike, which kind of like hurt the momentum a little bit. But let's pick that up, man. I'm really excited to give this a resurgence.
I believe it's also coming to Disney Plus on February 6th, I want to say. I could be wrong, but it will definitely end up at Disney because, you know, that's where we are. That's who we work for.
Awesome. Well, definitely check it out. Everybody, don't forget to go watch it. And until next time, guys, salam, nerds.
Salam.
Peace.
Salam. Bye. Thank you so much.